Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 29th of September, recording at 9:18 p.m., and it's still British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets, well, they were pretty quiet, although China continues to drift a little lower just before its so-called Golden Week holiday. Next week, the European stock markets were firmer, mostly gains over 1%, and Euro Stoxx 50 was up 1.64%. The only exception here was the UK index was down slightly. The others were higher because they liked the vote coming out of Germany. More on that in a moment. And in the Americas, well, this was an interesting day here. We had a strong pre-opening on Wall Street following some reasonable economic data. I think the second quarter GDP was revised upwards by 0.1%, I think to 1.2. And the new jobless claims were a bit lower than expected. So firm in pre-markets and firm for much of the morning, but then gradually gave up those gains, moved to the minus side, led by tech, interestingly. I don't know what the news was that might have caused that. But then in the last half hour, the Dow and, well, the whole market roared back, but the NASDAQ still closed down a little bit. But the S&P was up over 9 points to 1160. Dow up 143 points. That was up 1.3%. And in long-dated government bonds, the U.S. long-dated were slightly firmer, Europe slightly weaker. These are prices that I'm referring to. Gold seesawed a bit, firm early in the day, then moved to the minus side. It's sort of in and out of the minus side, but closed up $10 here. It currently is at $16.19.57. Platinum down a little bit, palladium down a little bit, silver is up half a dollar. In the industrial commodities, copper was interesting because it plunged down to 308, and on concern that the Chinese weren't buying, and then rallied well, closed at 324 and a half. Crude oil reversed an earlier decline. NYMEX got down to 79. That's the WTI contract. Got down to 79.64 before rallying up almost to 84, and it closed out the day at 82.75. Brent was around the 104 and change level. Industrial metals, well, I mentioned copper, but mostly a little bit steadier, as were most of the agricultural commodities. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, let's take stock markets. Still a lot of nervousness, still a lot of volatility. The VIX index remains relatively high. I'm just going to check that level. It came off a bit today, but it's still at 38.77 and very much in a range between 30 and 45 and a bit. So, as I say, a lot of nervousness in stock markets, but when you get persistent churning after a very sharp decline, it begins to take on the appearance of base building, we see some evidence of that overall. Now, for really, since mid-August, I've been saying that those early August lows, that's around the 8th and the 9th of August, that those were very important. And we've seen Wall Street's indices hold up above that level. And Owen and I have articulated the hypothesis that there was a chance, given the climactic nature of that sell-off, that we were, best case scenario, that markets were now in a support building phase in the region of the early August lows. Now, when I say in the region, I don't mean that exactly at those levels, but what I mean is that if they go below it, the markets, the main markets, which would include Wall Street and main one in Europe would be Germany, won't go a whole lot lower. Now, that's best case scenario, because what we also see are those big overhanging top formations, and that's got a lot of investors very nervous, understandably. Now, why might we possibly be seeing some support building in here instead of distribution prior to another leg downwards in the bear market? Well, one reason is that the focal point of attention, of course, has been on Europe recently. That's how I put it this way. That's the epicenter of global economic concerns. And there's been some fairly emotional talk in recent months. We had talk of collapse of the euro, or the breakup of the euro region, and more recently, a number of articles saying that Germany was going to leave the euro. Well, there's no evidence of that overall. That doesn't mean that the sovereign debt crisis isn't incredibly serious, and we're talking about telephone numbers here. But in terms of bad debts. But as far as Germany is concerned, I've always taken the view that as long as Germany wanted to stay in the euro, that there was definitely going to be a euro. It was always a possibility that perhaps someone would leave, or some country would leave the euro, or get chucked out of the euro. But even that seems to me to be a pretty relatively remote prospect at this stage. But here today, this German vote on the European Financial Stability Fund, which they needed to extend, and a European Financial Stability Facility, I think, to get it correct. And Angela Merkel needed 311 votes in favor for the motion to pass in the German lower house. And 311, and she got 523 with only 85 against. So that was a very strong vote. And everything that I see, and when I talk to friends and clients in Germany, that while the public will often express doubts about the euro, that as far as the politicians are concerned from all the main parties, and as far as the hugely influential German industrialists are concerned, they're strongly behind the euro, and that makes sense as well, because they get a relatively soft currency, and they get to export to the whole region, and indeed the world at large. So that makes sense. And there's little doubt in my mind that the Greek politicians want to stay within the euro for the time being. So I think, and I may have aired this in my last audio, that there's a chance that we may have passed the nadir in terms of the worst of this crisis, which is characterized by what seemed to be total chaos and maybe lack of realism and divisions in thinking among the 17 members of the single currency. Well, it's pretty hard to get all of those people on side, but if all the hyperbole regarding a breakup of the euro and Germany leading, if that has had any positive effect, and it may well have, in terms of concentrating the mind among those politicians. And it seems to me that they've doubled down here and are determined to keep the Euro project together. And that's probably a good thing at this stage for those member countries. The breakup would be chaotic, to put it mildly. So that's a situation that I think, well, I know is not going to be resolved for a very long time. But you've heard me say about crises in the past that they have to be seen to be getting worse. And that was the case with the Euro situation, with Geithner and even Obama getting involved in this, George Osborne from the UK Chancellor, China. But if it's not seen to be getting worse, then markets are going to respond a little bit more favorably. And we'll see that first with some short covering in those European bank shares and then a break in the downtrend. So again, with all this pessimism around, that again, if you take a contrarian view, which is usually a good idea with both extreme pessimism and extreme optimism, and that increases the possibility that we could just be in a support building phase here. Now, in terms of valuations, they are much improved. Of course, they're not at record lows. They seldom are. But it's not that bad. Not looking that bad. I actually nibbled a little bit at Royal Dutch Shell here today for my long-term personal portfolio. I've mentioned that on a number of occasions. It's long been the second largest position, or for well over a year. It's a couple of years. It's been the second largest position in my portfolio. And I added a little bit more here. I was hoping that it would come a bit lower, and it may still, in which case I'll buy a little bit more. But it's still yielding over 5%. Okay. And there is enough concern over deflation risks, and then we have Bernanke's support buying of U.S. Treasuries to keep these prices firm here for a while longer. In other words, yields at ultra-low levels. That may hold out until we get some stronger growth, and then I would not be surprised to see yields move up fairly quickly. But we're going to have to wait for that stronger growth. I don't think it's just around the corner. And I would add, regarding stock markets, that the ultra-low long-dated government bond yields at least create a favorable monetary environment for the sort of equities we like, which are dividend aristocrats and the big successful multinational companies. And a number of them continue to do quite well and look quite attractive. Asia, it does remain a concern for me because it's lagging here right now. And Asia has so often led in the past. Now, things can change quickly, but I don't think we will see Asia firmly in the pole position of the next recovery as it now stands, because there's still a concern over the inflation problems. So when you've had India raise interest rates 12 times since around last November, that's a powerful headwind, and that's keeping the market under pressure. And then we know about China trying to wring inflation out of its system. Again, these declines have created excellent value in the regions, but are they going to lead? I think they're terrific on a long-term basis, and you might want to read Asia 2020, excellent report that Thoughtful Subscriber sent me, written by DBS Research out of Singapore, talking about what Asia might look like in 2020. That's That's a good document to scan fairly carefully in this current environment. What else? Here, gold. I addressed an email that had come in. I've been away, as you know, for a few days, but addressed an email that had come in on Tuesday asking me about gold from the perspective of someone with a large position in gold bullion. And, well, what can we say? Gold has pulled back to its rising 200-day moving average. So it's seen the mean reversion that we have cautioned about ever since gold became quite overextended in August. So that's a positive coming back to that MA. Now, the speed with which gold fell down to nearly $1,500 that introduces a cautionary note, because that definitely revealed some capitulation. And yes, the dollar was firmer, but there's always been a capitulation risk with gold. If people become frightened, or sufficiently frightened in terms of other assets, they'll sell their gold as well, as we saw in 2008. I mentioned that on a number of occasions. But so we came back, saw gold punch briefly on an intraday basis below that 200-day moving average, which is an area of potential support. My feeling is that it would probably take another stock market sell-off to push gold down to a new reaction low. My feeling is, in worst case, we've probably seen most of the decline from the high. I do feel that gold will need to build some support near current levels. That's in the low 1600s. Owens mentioned that as well, following that sharp technical reaction, just to calm nerves, and that would demonstrate that renewed demand was coming in. You know, all it takes is a hedge fund or two to sell a large position, and you get these biggish corrections that we've seen. So, but weigh it all up, and I'd rather be a buyer than a seller of gold at these levels. And I hold a bit myself, although I came in a little bit too soon on that last leveraged purchase. And the leverage always puts one under more pressure. But as far as the bullion holders are concerned, I think this is, you know, now that we've seen the mean reversion to the rising MA, I would be more relaxed. We see no evidence that this overall secular bull market is over. Looking at the continuous commodity index, it has had a good pullback. I think it would benefit from a little bit more of a pullback, but it's had enough of a pullback to really take the heat off commodity price inflation for the medium term. And that's good news. It's not yet reflected in monetary policy out of Asia. They'll want to be well and truly sure before they change, perhaps, but they now have some justification for at least not tightening more, and quite possibly announcing that the tightening bias is over. Interesting, isn't it? All the best.